Divinity.com.
But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead.
These are the words, the text, passages, verses that we're focusing on for a stretch of time here as we're looking at this idea of the fact that we have a high calling as we pursue Jesus as followers of Jesus, and we're exploring what that's about. Now, in those verses that we just heard from Paul that he wrote to the Philippians, there's a lot of jumbled up concepts in these verses. It's pretty heavy on thought, pretty heavy on the theology of things. But and Paul was incredibly smart, right? He was an incredibly smart guy, but he was also a little bit wordy at times. So we're kind of breaking down these verses and exploring this high calling over a couple of weeks, this high calling as followers of Jesus. Now, what is that high calling all about? Well, four aspects to our pursuit of Jesus that we see in these verses. First of all, holiness, right? We see that we're called to pursue holiness. And Paul mostly talks about righteousness in these verses. That righteousness is the beginning of holiness, and that's what it's leading to. So holiness, intimacy, godliness, and hope. Right? Holiness, intimacy, godliness, and hope. Now, again, last week we looked at holiness. It starts when we are declared righteous by God. And that happens when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus. Okay? That is our position. We are declared righteous. And in verse 9, Paul says that we are found in him, not having a righteousness of our own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. But that position of righteousness, that's just the starting point for holiness. Okay? We're declared righteous by faith, but we become holy, right? Set apart and distinct and spiritually or morally excellent as we pursue Christ. Okay? So the position is righteousness. We're declared righteous, but we become holy. So that's what holiness is about. And then the next aspect, and things start there in the idea of our relationship with Christ. But the next aspect that we're going to be looking at for this morning in that high calling is intimacy. Intimacy. Now, intimacy is a close, familiar, and usually affectionate or loving personal relationship with another person. Right? That's the definition of intimacy. A close, familiar, and usually affectionate or loving personal relationship with another person. And that's the focus of verse 10 here. Paul writes, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings. Okay, so here's where the starting point is for us. Paul was talking about an experiential and relational knowledge of Jesus. Okay, he was talking about an experiential and a relational knowledge of Jesus. Now, I want you to think about this. Paul was a follower of Jesus for, 25 years or so when he comes to this point when he writes this letter. He had led people to Christ. He had started churches. Okay, he had traveled the world to share the gospel. He had suffered countless hardships in doing so. And after all this time, he says his greatest aim, to know Jesus. To know Jesus more intimately, to really know him. There's always more to discover about Jesus, right? There are always deeper places we can go in our relationship with him. Just like a married couple who has been married for decades and they get to know each other incredibly well and more intimately as they spend time together over the years, they grow closer and closer, but there's always more to know. There's almost always something that will surprise you. So Paul was talking about this kind of experiential, relational knowledge of Jesus. And exploring that a bit this morning in this verse. The first thing about knowing Christ is this. Knowing Christ is personal. Okay, knowing Christ is personal. When Paul writes that I may know him, he's talking about that kind of experiential and relational knowledge. Okay? Theologians actually talk about three different levels of faith, and they're based on some Latin word concepts. So we'll get a little Latin nerdy here, I guess, for a moment. But three levels of kind of faith or knowing Jesus. First of all, there's what we call notitia. What is notitia? It's what we call knowledge, right? It means we're willing to acknowledge the reality of Jesus. So you can go to any world history class and you're going to hear about the impact of a man called Jesus who existed in Israel some 2,000 years ago, right? There's plenty of historical evidence to support the existence of Jesus. And there's certainly the reality that many of his followers claim that he performed numerous miracles. He was disliked by the authorities. So he was arrested and killed on the cross by the Roman rulers. His followers claim that he rose from the dead on the third day. And his teachings, whether you agree with them or not, have changed the world, right? That type of knowledge or data about Jesus is notitia. It's that first level of knowledge, but it's not a saving faith. It's not an experiential, relational knowledge. And that kind of knowledge is not what Paul's talking about here. Now, the next type of knowledge is assent, or in Latin, it's assensus. But this is where you agree with the knowledge that you've heard about Jesus, right? It's saying, yeah, all those facts, all that data, I actually believe it to be true, right? I don't just acknowledge the data about Jesus, I believe it to be true, and I even agree with it. Okay? Now, that's the second level of knowledge, but it's not that kind of saving faith. That's not what Paul's talking about here. See, it's not enough to know about Jesus. You have to actually know Jesus. And that's what Paul's getting at. There are lots of people who know about him but don't know him. And that's where this third type of knowledge comes in, which is fiducia, and it refers to faith or trust. Now, this is where not only know something about Jesus, you have this knowledge of who he is, and you believe the stories are true, that assent, right? But you also believe that this is true for you. Okay, it's not just knowing Jesus, it's knowing about Jesus, it's knowing Jesus. It's not only having a knowledge of him, but it's being in this right relationship with him. So 70 to 80% of people say that they're Christians or they are Christian, right? Now, I don't doubt that 70 to 80% of people know something about Jesus. Maybe even 70 to 80% of people actually believe what they know about Jesus to be true. But the question is deeper than that. Do they know Jesus in the way Paul talks about here? In this experiential and relational way, right? Are they trusting and following him? There are lots of people who know about him but don't actually know him. And so that brings, of course, the question, what about you? And what about me? Right? Do we have an experiential and relational knowledge of Jesus? Do we know him or do we just know about him? Is there something going on relationally, experientially between us? That's the kind of knowledge Paul wants to have, and that's the kind of knowledge God wants us to have. So knowing Christ is personal, right? It's personal. It's not just facts and data. It's personal. It involves an engagement in a relationship with Jesus, okay? So knowing Christ is personal. But the second thing that Paul talks about is that knowing Christ is powerful. Okay, because he says to know him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. So Jesus' death and resurrection is the most incredible demonstration of power that we could ever know. If you think about that, I mean, there was a man who is God who had died and was raised to life on the third day. Right? What a demonstration of power. He predicted that that would happen. And then he brought it about. And that's an amazing thing. So our coming to faith in Jesus, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus as the Savior, our faith in him and our life is supposed to be a reflection of that death and resurrection, the power of his resurrection. We're supposed to see it in us. And so think about it this way. When we surrender our life to Jesus, we too die. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So we die to ourself. We die to our fleshly desires. Right? We die to sin. Like, we are crucified with Christ. Therefore, we no longer live. Right? So those things, that sin, that fleshly desire, that self and selfishness, that should no longer have power over us because we've died to them already. Right? They're dead and gone. They're in the grave. But now God has raised us up with Christ. He's made us alive in Christ. So we have victory over death. We have victory over the cause of death, which is sin. Right? Jesus had power over both. And that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that's working in us. Now, the problem is, of course, we don't always depend on that power, do we? Right? We don't always turn to him. We go into our battle against self and fleshly desires and sin, we go in kind of weak. We try to fight it on our own power. We just give in without really pursuing Christ in our life. We don't pursue his power in our life. We don't even sometimes go to him and depend upon him to bring us that power. But the fact is we are to know Jesus in the power of his resurrection. When we come to know Jesus intimately, we can know this power, the power to turn away from sin, the power to resist it, the power to choose the things of God, heavenly desires instead of earthly ones. Okay? So instead of fighting this losing battle over sin that we're constantly losing to, we can go to Jesus, get power and strength from him because we know the power of the resurrection. It's at work in us, in our life. So knowing Christ is personal, like we make it our aim to know him personally, experientially, relationally, and knowing Christ is powerful, because we now have the power of the resurrection, that same power at work in us. And then there's a third aspect that Paul talks about, and it's this: knowing Christ is painful. Knowing Christ is painful. Because not only do we know him, that I may know him, and the power of the resurrection, but, Paul says, and may share in his sufferings. Not the most cheeriest of things to think about, right? As followers of Jesus, we are going to suffer for the cause of Christ. In fact, that's why we need the power of the resurrection in our life, most likely, right? Because we are also going to experience suffering, and we need his power. Jesus said the world will hate us because we are his disciples. He said that in this world we're going to have trouble. Now, he also said, take courage, I've overcome the world, but we're going to have trouble. Following Jesus is not going to be easy. We will suffer for our faith, but that only helps us to know him better. And that's this crazy thing, this crazy perspective that the disciples had, the apostles had. Like, somehow in their suffering, they realized, you know, I get to know Christ in a way I didn't know him before. And they rejoiced at that. Insane, right? They rejoiced at that. And somehow, we relate to Christ better when we experience suffering because of our faith. We begin to understand what he went through. in a way we couldn't understand before we experienced that suffering for ourselves. Now, Paul already laid out all the kinds of things that he had been through, imprisonments, beatings, stonings, and so on. But, and I think of that, and I think, man, that's pretty intense. And then I think about us, think about me, and I think, man, sometimes we're scared to start a spiritual conversation with people sometimes because they might look at us funny, right? As far as any real persecution goes, I've never experienced that. I doubt anyone here has ever really experienced that kind of a thing. I don't doubt a time is coming that that will be more the norm than it is now. It probably will come at some point, someday, suffering and persecution. We're going to experience that more directly than maybe we do now. But here's the point. You and I right now can only imagine what it is like to suffer for Christ in that way. But Paul and many others have been persecuted for their faith. They understand what Jesus went through in a way that we can't. They know Jesus in a way that we don't because they understand what it means to suffer. And so part of knowing Christ is pain. And when we experience that, we relate to him and know him better. So, you know, knowing Christ is personal, knowing Christ is powerful, and knowing Christ is painful. And there's one more thing. Knowing Christ is purposeful. It's purposeful. Because all of this, knowing Christ, it brings about us becoming like him. Right? Paul says, besides all these things, to know that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and that I may know him in his sufferings, becoming like him in death. Right? Becoming like him. We'll talk about this aspect a little bit more next week, but Paul says, look, he wants to become like Jesus. And specifically, he wants to become like him in his death. But knowing Jesus has a purpose to help us become more like him. Right? That's what God wants for us. He wants us to become more like Jesus, more godly. Knowing Christ serves the purpose of helping us become more godly. And again, that'll be our focus for next week. So knowing Christ is personal, knowing Christ is powerful, knowing Christ is painful, and knowing Christ is purposeful. Now here's the thing that I think we want to really grab onto this morning. We can know Jesus in a way like that, that Paul describes. We can know Jesus in an experiential and relational way and still not know him very well. Right? And so here's the thing. It's possible to know Jesus personally, but not know him intimately. Right? It's possible to know Jesus personally and not know him intimately. And this is the place that I'm really wanting us to focus our own hearts in on this morning. It's possible that we know Jesus personally, but not very well, not intimately. Okay, like here's an example. There are a lot of musicians, Christian musicians, that I've gotten a chance to meet and know from having worked with Lifefest and also the Power of One way back in the day. Some of those musicians I never met, I never knew at all. I never really talked with them. I just knew a lot about them, like who they were and their songs and their music and that sort of thing. But I have had a few meaningful conversations with some of them. Like once I had lunch with John and Corey Cooper from Skillet, right? That was cool. This was years and years ago. They were not popular then. They were just kind of that band, you know, like everybody, oh, they're cool. I think I heard of them. But back in the day, you're like, yeah, hung out, talked with them, got to know them a little bit. That's really cool. And I also spent a pretty fun afternoon with Trisha and Melissa from Super Chick. Right? Now, this is actually a pretty cool story. Back when they were first getting started, we had an event that we were doing in Appleton. Kayla was like a year and a half old. And that's how long ago it was, right? And she came with us to this event, and they did their sound check, and then they had all kinds of time and space. And then these two were like out in the outside in the yard playing with Kayla like the whole afternoon. It was very cool, and we got a CD that they, you know, autographed and stuff like that. And then every once in a while, when they would come back to the area, we'd stop by and like, hey, remember, this is Kayla. She, oh, yeah, they, you know, it was great. So unlike many other artists, I could say I know them personally, but I don't know them well, right? I know them personally, but I don't know them well, and they probably won't remember my name. Or think about family relationships, right? Think about family relationships. Some brothers and sisters are extremely close, right? They're more like best friends and siblings. But other family members, there's a lot of distance. But they aren't any less family. They're still your family. But sometimes it's possible to have family that you don't really know that well or you aren't that close to. So in the same way, it's possible that we have an experiential and relational knowledge of Jesus. Like, we know Jesus personally, but we don't know him intimately. And that's what he wants for us, and that's what Paul wants for us. So how do we get to know him well? How do we develop an intimate relationship with Jesus? How do we get to know him intimately? Well, you got to spend time with him. And three things that are really helpful for us. You spend time in Scripture, right? You spend time in Scripture where you discover and learn more about him. You spend time talking with him in prayer, where you learn to hear his voice and share your heart with him. And you spend time in worship, expressing your love and affection for him. Now, there are some other ways you could list here, but Scripture, prayer, and worship, those are three pretty important components. Now, I'm sorry if you guys are looking at the list going, well, that's a bit anticlimactic, right? Like, huh, all right, well, those are pretty basic. Yeah, they are. But, you know, think about our relationships with other people. They don't have to be complicated, but they should involve some connection. You know, we should be learning about them more and more. We should be talking with them, right? Just simple things make the biggest difference in building a strong relationship. That's true for Jesus as well. Scripture, prayer, worship. If we want an intimate personal relationship with Jesus, we've got to spend time with him in those areas. Not doing them as a formality or a duty or an obligation, because then we're just putting in our time. But as a way of developing a relationship with him, the kind of relationship that he wants from us, where we're drawing near to him. Now, I thought about those three things this morning, and I thought, well, boy, we could dive into the importance of each one. We could talk about how to study the Scripture better, how to pray better, worship, whatever. But, you know, rather than talk about those things this morning, we wanted to carve out some time for us to actually just do them. Okay, here we are in church talking about Scripture, prayer, and worship. How about if we spend some time in Scripture and prayer and worship together? All right, so I mentioned to you this morning, we mentioned this morning that you may want to grab a Bible. We're going to give you some time, just 5 minutes or so, to feel free to read some Scripture, right, to look up some passages. Now, if you don't know where to start, in the bulletin on the back sheet, we do have some suggested readings. Okay, there's some suggestions there of things that you can follow along. There's like four different passages. You can look them up. There's even the page number, right? So if you're not terribly familiar with where these things are in the Bible, there's a page number right there. You just look for the chapter and the verse, and you can follow right along there. Maybe you're in the middle of your own time reading the Bible, and you want to just go there. That's fine, too. Right? Whatever you think is best. But we want to give a few moments for us to spend some time in the Scriptures. And then once we're done with that, we're going to spend a few moments in prayer. So at this time, if you need a Bible, feel free to pop back and grab one off the back table. If you need a bulletin, there's some up here if you need these suggestions. Don't be embarrassed by that. Just get up and grab one. We're cool with that, okay? So we're going to take a few minutes just to give you to spend some time in the scriptures this morning, and we'll have some music just playing in the background, and then I'll transition us to a time of prayer in a few moments. And as we kind of continue in this time, I would encourage you to kind of transition now just into a time of prayer. And again, if you're kind of wondering, what am I supposed to talk to God about this morning? What am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to pray about? There's some suggestions here for you on the notes. You know, pray about what you read in Scripture. You know, pray that you would come to know Jesus more intimately, like we talked about. Pray for power in areas of your life that you need power for because you're struggling with, right? Pray for your needs. Pray for the needs of others. Pray for those who don't know Jesus yet. It's not really all that significant or important what it is you're praying about in this time, but the idea is we're trying to connect with Jesus. So again, let's take a few more minutes while the music plays, and we'll spend some time, allow you to spend some time in prayer, just communicating, talking with the Lord.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.